And, you know, that's, I think, you know, at first you think, well, what's the Lord doing? And then you have to kind of step back and say, oh, well, what's Dwayne doing? You know, and so if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Little lesson I've called, I like to call my lesson something to kind of direct my mind, but little lesson I'm calling, as the heart goes, so goes life. As the heart goes, so goes life. In chapter 3, we saw a wonderful chapter of God's grace, and in spite of the fact that Hosea's wife Gomer had stepped away from her faithfulness to her marriage, she had gone after other men, God told Hosea, Hosea being a picture of Jesus Christ, God told Hosea to go get her back. And it was a picture of God's wonderful grace to his people. Such a wonderful 6 verses. And chapter 4 also gives a little description or a little character about God, as all the minor prophets do. And it's a much darker chapter, but it is the picture of where Israel was during their falling away. And it's not a pleasant chapter, but that's nevertheless part of life as well. In this chapter, God reproves the people and he reproves the priest for their sins, which they began doing after Jeroboam died. And there's no mention of Jeroboam in the chapter or his family. At the time, there was great wickedness and rebellion and bloodshed during the civil war that was going on. And this is a dark chapter, as I said. It's a blight against God's people. They've stopped serving their God, and as a result, God has left them to their own thing. And they're living the results of abandoning the principles of their faith. Read with me in verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Okay, excuse me for a moment. Let me figure out what's going on here. This is a new contraption, and it's not working quite like I would like for it to, but that's okay. See if we can get rid of that noise. Okay, this first verse says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel here, if you will remember with me, are the northern 10 tribes of Israel, commonly called Ephraim in the Old Testament. Ephraim was one of the tribes of the children of Israel. It was the, I believe it was the largest tribe. It was a very well-known tribe. And so when the Civil War started and the two tribes became the southern tribes of Judah, and then the 10 northern tribes became their own thing, they were called Ephraim. And that's what most of this entire chapter anyway is addressed to, those northern 10 tribes. And the Bible says, for the Lord hath a controversy. That means complaint. The Lord has a complaint with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, these people at one time had plenty of knowledge, and they had plenty of truth and plenty of mercy, but something had happened along the way. They stopped trusting God. They stopped believing in God, and they stopped worshiping in the true God, and instead went to the idols of that Syria had to offer and that other lands had to offer. And friends, this is one of the characteristics of God, is that he lets us willfully choose our path, at the beginning at least. He doesn't force us. He doesn't put a gun to our head and say, go down this path. He gives us that option, and he prompts us by his Spirit. Back then, he prompted them by supernatural ways. Today, he works through his word, and today he works through the Holy Spirit leading in our lives. But that's what he does, and he gives us this choice, and he gave them this choice. But ultimately, at the beginning of all of this, they have a choice, and they decide to leave the Lord their God, and now they're living by their consequences of their decisions. He says in verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. That word breakout was a Hebrew term that meant a bursting through every restraint. These guys have got so bad that they have broken through, or they've bursted through every restraint that held them back. Now, you've probably seen this in your life. Once you start abandoning your faith, and once you start abandoning the smallest principles of the Word of God, it's so easy to keep going. Amen? It's so easy when you walk away the first time to keep walking away. And that's what they did. And anytime we abandon God's principles in our lives, there's a potentially no end to where we will go. Like we said last week, from the song that we hear sometimes, sin will take you farther than you'll want to go. Verse 3 says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the fields and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Now when evil and ungodliness reigns, as it did in that time, even the land would suffer. Now the unbeliever today, the person who does not believe in a God, and the person who does not believe that God controls in the affairs of this world and the earth, they would laugh at that. But God controls the things, the actions of the earth and this world. And here he says in this verse, you're in such a bad situation, you've walked away from me to the nth degree, and everything that dwelleth is going to suffer the consequences. It's going to languish. The beast of the fields, the fowls of heaven, the fishes of the sea. Yet, in verse number 4, let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. That simply means they've gone so far, don't even bother telling them. Don't even try to convince them. Don't even try to reprove them and rebuke them, because they are gone. Their guilt is as those who go into the priest and they listen to their priest, but then they do not follow the advice of the priest. They rush on to their own destruction as willfully as one of those kinds of people. And yet, he calls them thy people. These are the 10 tribes of Israel who left the Lord. In verse number 5, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. I will destroy thy mother. Normally, when one state or one nation overtook another, it was at night. And the Lord is simply saying here, your situation is so bad that you'll fall in the day, in broad daylight, a time when an attack would not even be expected. That's when you will fall. It talks about the mother. That's the Israelitish state. That's the state of Israel. And the nation is the mother, and the citizens are the children. So the whole nation has left the Lord. And therefore, he says in verse number 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. It's sad when God's people have a lack of knowledge, or a lack of piety, or a lack of understanding of God's word. Yet, in verse number 6, he opens the verse up with my people, yet he says, you are destroyed because you do not have knowledge, a true, heartfelt knowledge of me. They should have had the opportunity to follow the Lord, and they did have that opportunity, but they should have followed the Lord, and they should have worshipped him, yet they left him. And so he said, I will forget thy children. He says right there also in the middle of the verse, he says, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Even the priest had abandoned what they were supposed to do. The priest was one who was supposed to encourage the people to stay in the right path and to take the sacrifices for their sin and help them get along closer to the Lord, get on down the road closer to the Lord, keep his principles. Yet the priest in this case, they were doing the same thing. They were not helping the people. They were taking the sacrifices, and they were going through an outward motion, but nothing was happening. He says in verse number 6-7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. So these 10 tribes, they became bigger and bigger, As you, if you remember your Old Testament history, you know that that happened. And they became wealthier, and they became wealthier. But God says, I'm going to turn your glory. I'm going to turn your glory in your wealth and your abilities and in your numbers, how big you are. I'm going to turn that into shame because you have left the most basic of responsibilities that a child should have. You've left that and gone a-whoring after other gods. Verse number 8, he talks about the priest. He said, they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. Well, as you know, the people were bringing in their sacrifices, and the priests were to do the burnt offering, and they were to do the ritual and the sacrifice, and then they would, in many cases, they would eat the leftovers. And he's literally making a statement, the priests are just the same as the people. They're eating up the sin of the people, and they have their heart set on iniquity. This is the exact opposite of a person who cares about what God wants for his or her life. This is the exact opposite of a person who will allow the Holy Spirit to control them. Psalms 24, verse 4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. If we have learned anything in the past 20 years in Christian culture, or 80, 100 years, the Christian culture that we grew up in was so good on the outside. We had our rules, didn't we, Linda? We were good at that. And there's some good in that, you know. That's a very important part of this. But what's even more important is the state of the heart. I can come to this place, I can come to this church 3 times a week, and I can get involved, and I can give my monies, and I can support my pastor, and I can do all these things that look good, and yet my heart be as black and as cold as anything. And God is concerned with this far more than he's concerned with all of this. He's not impressed by how I dress up. He's not impressed with how we look. He wants to know what we're like on the inside of our heart. And these priests, they had no responsibility. They did not adhere to their responsibility of helping the people along. In fact, they become just like them, and they encourage them to walk farther and farther away from the Lord. And verse 9 says, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Like people, like priests, they are one in guilt. And when God punishes them and when God puts his judgment out upon them, they'll stand together. That last phrase there, they say that was a common phrase of the day, reward them their doings. And it meant this right here. Pay them back in their own coin. Coin. So whatever method and whatever they had been doing, God was going to pay them back the same way. And that's how bad this had gotten. And he says in verse number 10, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They were literally get so, these priests are so in cohorts with the people, and they're such a part of their sin that their judgment is even the sons who should take over. If you remember Old Testament or Mosaic rules, the priest's son would follow the shoes, follow the path of the father, and he would become a son as well. And yet these priests will not have kids. They will not, the sons will not follow in the footsteps of the father. God says, I don't need you anymore. You've left from following me, and you don't do your job, and you don't bring the people around to follow me. So I will not even allow your families to increase. He says, whoredom in verse 11, and wine and new wine take away the heart. Now, this is applicable to all times. We can get down. In this particular case, they were talking about the licentious orgies that took place in Syrian worship. And they would lure people, they would lure God's people away from him, and there was always the physical aspect of it. There was always the sacrilegious aspect of it as well. But the point is all this would do is take away God's people from God. And verse number 12 is a sad one. My people ask counsel at their stocks. Stocks meaning wooden idols that they made. False idols, wooden idols. My people ask counsel at their stocks. Isn't that terrible? God has got the ability to give us counsel. God desires for us to come to him as his people. And yet here this verse says, my people don't even seek my advice. My people don't come to me. They go to some false wooden idol that they have. And their staff there declareth unto them. Their staff was their divining rods that they had. They tell us that they would take a stick, cut a piece of bark off or a piece of wood off of a tree. And the Syrians did this in a different way, but even the Israelites got to where they would take this stick. One side had bark on it. The other side did not have any bark on it. It was bare wood. And they would throw it. They would pitch it onto the ground. And if the bark side came up, that means they were not going to be favored by God. But if the other side came up, God would favor them. They would have a favorable outcome in life. And God says, you're resorting to these ridiculous things in your life. I will help you. I know the future. Trust me, follow me. Yet you're resorting to all these wooden idols and these divining rods. And you won't even talk to me and follow me. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. God says, this is so bad. They're seeking advice and counsel, and they're just leaving me in droves. He says in verse 13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. They get to the highest mountain that they can find because they feel that they're closer to their God, to their false God. And they say they can worship that there because the shadow is good or the shade is good, and they can get a shade from the sun. And he says, as a result of that, therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. But yet, even though the spouses and even though the daughters are doing this, verse number 14. He says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fail. Now think of this verse as this right here, the most extreme judgment that God places upon the people will not be upon the daughters and the spouses, but upon the men. You know why? Because they've led the whole way in departing from God. Well, like it or not, God's given a man a responsibility to lead his family. Amen? That's what we read in Scripture. These men forsook that responsibility. They led the way in departing from God and going to the false gods. And God said, okay, men, you're going to get the bigger punishment here. Now, you know, the daughters and the spouses, they would go through punishment by the nature of the judgment, by the nature of what was going to happen, the judgment from God. But the men had failed to do their duty, and they had failed to lead their families, and they had failed to keep their family have a relationship with God. And he says in verse number 15, though thou Israel play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Now remember, Judah's the two southern tribes, okay? And Judah had not gone after idolatry yet. At this point in time, they were still faithful to the Lord. And so he kind of turns the attention now is away from Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, and he turns the attention over to Judah, and he says, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye into Gilgal, Now Gilgal was between Jordan and Jericho, and it was a very holy place to Jehovah. But the Israelites had made it a place of idol worship. And so here he's saying, don't even go to Gilgal. It's not even the place that you need to be. And the Beth Haven, you know, Bethel means house of God. We saw that over and over in our studies in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. But here he says, don't even go to Beth Haven. It means house of vanity. He said, there's no place for it to go. Judah, you stay away from this. Israel's in a mess, and you don't need to defile yourself by coming to this place. And he says in verse 16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now, I didn't know what that was, but I found out that a backsliding heifer was just simply one who got out of her yoke. You know, she's got a yoke on her to control where she goes. And so a backsliding heifer is one that throws the yoke off of her neck. And here's the irony of this whole thing. He says, for Israel sliding back as a backsliding heifer, they don't want any control that God puts on their neck. They don't want any of God's control in their life. And he says, now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Now, on the surface, that sounds good. You know, God sending the sheep out to a big, huge pasture and they get to eat. But in this case, it's not good. This is a verse of irony. Lambs do like a large pasture, they say, but it's not safe for them because they need to be in a small place that can be easily guarded, fenced away from wild beasts. And God here in this verse will feed them, but it won't be with food. It'll be with the rod. It'll be with the judgment of God. And Israel, after God just starts judging them, they'll no longer have that strip, that narrow territory of Israel, but in a large place owned by other nations. And they'll be in captivity to their enemies. They'll be in a large place, no security there, won't have any defense against the beast. And this large place will be in the backyard of their enemies. And it'll all be because God is giving his judgment upon these people. And he says, Ephraim, in verse number 7, that's the 10 tribes, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. It's so bad that God says, just let them go. They've gone so far. They've gone so far, don't say, like the verse said in the previous verse, don't even talk to them, don't reprove them, don't rebuke them, just let them go. When I read this verse, I thought about the prodigal son. Do you remember that? In the New Testament, how the Bible says there was a point in his life when he came to himself. I don't know the guy, we don't know the guy, but I bet you, before that point in time in his life, when he came to himself, when he finally just ran out of options in life, you could have probably talked to him till you were blue in the face, given him every reason why he should come back around, but he wasn't ready. There comes a point in a person's life when he needs to be just left alone. I've got some friends, I've got some people in our family that we've just basically just left alone because we've prayed and we've talked. But I believe that they're going to have to see for themselves where they're headed. You know, they're going to have to go through some consequences before they come to themselves. Verse 18 says, and I got to wrap this up, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. That just means her rulers, they love shame. They love what's going on. You know, God's people, when they go against God, should be shameful. I know those times in my life when I stepped away from the Lord, I wasn't very proud of myself. And Brother Ray, I didn't want to get around other Christians because I didn't want them finding out about me. You know, but here the verse says they love the shame, they love the situation they're in. And he says in verse 19, the wind hath bound her up his wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Their judgment is coming so quick. It's as if the West Texas wind would come in and pick up a piece of paper and carry it off. The wind does that. And God's judgment is so coming upon this place. Well, it's easy for us to say, well, that's Israel. That's it. That's Ephraim. It's not about me. I live in a different age, and this doesn't apply to me. However, as we end the lesson, don't forget that Israel didn't get this way overnight. It took a long time to get there. One thing at a time. One thing at a time, refusing to give God that thing, and then it makes it easier to not give Him the next thing, and then the next thing. And one day you wake up and you're far away from where you were supposed to be in the first place. The only guard that I know, the only safety that I know to stay away from that situation is His Word. You say, well, why is that? Well, because, Treasure, I start thinking crazy sometimes, don't you? Yeah, we do. And you know what? If you and I would take the time to get in God's Word and allow God's Word to prick our hearts and talk to us, you know how it is. You read the Word of God, and maybe you're just reading through your schedule, but you look at that verse and you read it and you stop and say, oh, that was meant for me. That's me, Travis, right there. This one's got my name on it. Well, that's how you stay on the straight and narrow path. It's a little bit at a time. The children of Israel, a little bit at a time, went away from God, and they ended up in Hosea chapter 4, and God said, don't even mess with them. They're too far gone. Just let them come to themselves. Let them alone. And thank God for His grace, because they do come back around. And I'm glad for that too. Would you pray with me?